Thank you, Courtney. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Colbún's second quarter 2017 conference call. My name is Sebastián Moraga. I am the CFO of the company, and joining me today are Miguel Alarcón, our Deputy CFO, Verónica Rubín, and Carola Postiguel, members of the investor relations team. I hope that you have received our second quarter earnings report and an earnings review presentation that we have prepared to complement the analysis of our figures. Otherwise, you can download them at the investors section of our website. Agenda for today on slide two is as follows. We will begin talking about the highlights of the quarter, then we will analyze in detail this quarter's results, and after that, we will provide an update on our growth opportunities. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session, and questions will be accepted in either English or Spanish. Now, please go to slide four to review the second quarter key facts of the company. First, regarding gas supply, on May 24 of this year, the company subscribed a new contract with ENAP for the supply of natural gas with a regasification capacity. The contract will enable Colbún to have LNG from ENAP shipments and shipments from third-party suppliers in the international market. Subsequently, on July 26, Colbún and ENAP agreed to modify the contract in order to anticipate its entry into force and expand the volume of regasification capacity originally agreed. With the amendment, the entry into force of the contract will begin to be effective as of January 1st of 2018, extending its duration to a term of 13 years. In addition, it was agreed to increase the regasification reserve capacity offered by ENAP, which gives Colbún the option extending from one to two the combined cycles of its Nehuenco complex that can operate based on this fuel. Second, regarding La Mina hydro project, as of June 17th, as of June of this year, the construction of the project is completed. The synchronization of the units one and two were carried out in May 2017, and it is currently undergoing a testing phase. It is estimated that the commercial operation will begin during the third quarter of this year. Third, on May of this year, Standard & Poor's raised Colbún's international credit rating from BBB- to BBB, placing it in a stable outlook in the context of the consolidation of results that the company has shown in recent years. Finally, regarding long-term values, in the past few months, Colbún has subscribed new medium-term supply contracts with unregulated customers for approximately 800 GWh and is currently under negotiations to finalize new agreements. The prices and volumes of these contracts reflect the current market conditions and the cost structure of the company. In this subject, also in July of this year, Fenix announced the award of a medium-term energy supply contract with a non-regulated customer for an approximately of 830 GWh of energy in a period of 5 years, starting in January 2018. Now please go to slide five to review the main consolidated figures of the company. Consolidated last 12 months EBITDA as of June reached $594 million, and last 12 months net income reached $216 million. Further analysis will be provided in the upcoming slides. As of June 2017, financial investments totaled $681 million, slightly increasing compared to the balance as of December 2016, mainly explained by inflows from our operational activities. On its part, net debt to EBITDA ratio reached 1.7 times in June 2017, remaining in line with 2016 closing figures. Now, continuing with the presentation, please go to slide number six to review some highlights of the quarter. The hydrological year that started in April of this year has presented a lower level of water inflows in the main hydrological basins of the central integrated system with respect to the previous period. On its part, rainfalls during to the second quarter of this year have not been sufficient to offset the water deficit in reservoirs and run-of-the-river power plants of the system. In this line, Colbún's hydro generation during the second quarter decreased 7% compared to the same period of last year. The lower hydro generation of the period was partially offset by efficient thermal generation, allowing Colbún to meet 100% of its commercial commitments with cost-efficient baseload capacity during the second quarter. On its part, revenues for this quarter totalized $394 million, a 6% increase compared with the revenues of $370 million of the second quarter of last year. Consolidated EBITDA in the second quarter reached $159 million compared with $151 million of the second quarter of last year, and this higher EBITDA is mainly explained by higher revenues from the ordinary activities, resulting in an increase of sales to regulated and unregulated customers in Chile, and higher revenues from energy and capacity sales in the spot market. And secondly, the higher EBITDA contribution from the Fenix operation. These effects were partially offset by higher materials and consumables, mainly explained by higher gas consumption, resulting from the higher generation of the quarter with this technology to compensate for the drier hydrology. The company recorded a net income of $78 million, higher than the net income of $51 million of last year, due to a lower non-operating loss recorded during the quarter. The lower loss in the quarter is mainly explained by a non-recurring income of $23 million as a result of the recognition of a deferred tax asset in our subsidiary, Fenix. This value represents a profit at the business combination level, which has been recorded prospectively in the current period. And financial debt reached $1,703 million, in line compared to December of 2016. On its part, financial investments totalized $681 million, and the total net debt totalized $1,022 million. Now I will turn to Verónica, who will speak about the main drivers of last quarter results and operations.
Thank you, Sebastián, and hello to everyone. Please move to slide 8 for a review of the main financial figures of the quarter, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis in Chile. Total generation reached 3.4 terawatt-hour in second quarter 2017, slightly increased by 2% compared to the same quarter of the previous year, mainly due to a higher cost-efficient gas generation, partially compensated by a decrease in hydroelectric generation. Physical sales during this quarter reached 3.3 terawatt-hours, remaining in line compared to the second quarter 2016. Spot market balance during the quarter recorded net sales for 477 gigawatt-hour compared with net sales for 513 gigawatt-hour in second quarter 2016. Despite the adverse hydrological conditions, 100% of the company's commercial commitments were supplied with cost-efficient baseload generation. Now please continue to slide 9 to analyze Chile's EBITDA for second quarter 2017. First, revenues for this quarter reached $347 million, increasing 10% compared to second quarter 2016, mainly explained by, first, higher sales to regulated and unregulated customers. Second, higher revenues from capacity and energy sales in the spot market. And third, higher operating revenues, mainly due to the portion of the tax on emissions of thermal power plants transferred to non-regulated customers, which began to be effective as of January 2017. These effects were partially offset by lower transmission tolls revenues explained by lower tariff revenues received in 2017 compared to the same period of the previous year due to the effect of annual liquidation of tolls and lower hydro generation during the quarter. Raw materials and consumables used increased 17%, on a quarterly basis, mainly due to, first, higher gas consumption to compensate the lower hydroelectric generation of the period, and second, higher other operating expenses corresponding to the portion of the tax on emissions associated to non-regulated customers. The higher expenses of the quarter were partially offset by lower diesel consumption. Without EBITDA increased by 4%, reaching 148 million in second quarter 2017. Now, please continue to slide 10 for a review of the main financial figures of Fenix, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis. Fenix thermal gas power generation reached 1.1 terawatt hour in second quarter 2017 versus 800 gigawatt in the second quarter of 2016. The higher generation of the quarter is mainly explained by the higher availability of the power plant compared to second quarter 2016 due to the gas transportation limitation, the disconnection of Fenix and the major maintenance carried out in June 2016. Physical withdrawals from customers under contract during second quarter 2017 reached 713 gigawatt hours, 20% lower compared to second quarter 2016, mainly explained by the expiration of bilateral short-term supply contracts during 2016. Spot market balance reached net sales of 336 gigawatt hours in second quarter of this year versus net purchase for 71 gigawatt hours in second quarter of the past year. Given the above, 100% of the company's commercial commitments were met with own generation. Now, please continue to slide 11 to analyze Fenix EBITDA for the period. First, revenues for second quarter 2017 reached 47 million, 15% lower compared to the second quarter 2016, mainly due to lower sales to regulated customers and sales to other generators due to the expiration of bilateral contracts and lower revenues from transmission tolls. This was partially offset by higher sales to non-regulated customers and other operating income. Raw materials and consumables use decreased 19% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. The decrease compared to the second quarter 2016 is mainly explained by the fact that the quarter recorded no spot market purchases and lower transmission cost expenses, partially offset by higher gas consumption as a result of the higher generation of the quarter. Without, Fenix EBITDA reached 11 million in second quarter 2017. Higher when compared to the EBITDA of 9 million recorded in the same period last year. The increase is mainly explained by lower expenses registered in the line other expenses by nature. Now, let's move to slide 12 for the consolidated non-operating income and net income analysis. Non-operating income in second quarter 2017 recorded losses of 1 million, which compares primarily with the loss of 30 million in second quarter 2016. The lower loss in the quarter is mainly explained by the non-recurring income of 23.4 million recorded in Fenix, previously explained. On its part, during the quarter, there were lower financial expenses, explained by the lower outstanding financial debt during the period, resulting from debt prepayments of approximately 500 million. Performed in June and July of 2016. These lower expenses were mainly offset by higher expenses recorded in the line other profit losses, which mainly correspond to the tax expense on the emissions of thermal power plants, which become effective in January 2017. The company recorded in second quarter 2017 a net income of 78 million, higher than the net income of 51 million of second quarter 2016. The higher profit is mainly explained by the lower non-operating loss recorded during the quarter explained above and by the increase in EBITDA. Now, continuing with this conference call, please go to slide number 14 where Sebastian will give you an update on the status of our growth opportunities.
Thank you, Veronica. And now, as we have mentioned before, we continue searching for growth opportunities in Chile and other countries in the region in order to maintain a leading position in the power generation business and to diversify our sources of income. In terms of our local projects, the construction of La Mina was carried out from January to April 2017, when the first synchronization of units 1 and 2 took place. La Mina is currently undergoing the testing phase, and the commissioning of the project is expected for the third quarter of this year. The estimated capex, including the transmission line, is approximately 130 million. Regarding San Pedro Hydro Project, in 2015, the environmental impact assessment for the changes to the project were submitted, being initially accepted into process by the Environmental Assessment Service of Los Ríos region. However, in August 2015, the authority decided to early terminate the process due to the lack of relevant and essential information. The decision was confirmed after the company filed an administrative appeal with the new information. Notwithstanding the foregoing, the company is analyzing the observations from all the public services in order to collect and prepare a timely response with technically founded information required by the authority. In parallel, we continue developing an explicative and clarifying meeting process plan with municipalities, communities, neighborhoods, regional authorities, and indigenous communities, among other stakeholders, with the objective to identify the best way to insert this project in the area. Regarding Huayquivino Melao Hydro Project, it is a complex located in the basin of Huayquivino and Melao rivers in Colbún's municipality in the Linares province. The project considers a total installed capacity of approximately 316 megawatts and an average annual generation of approximately 1.6 terawatts. The project includes a transmission line to inject energy into the system with a total extension of approximately 90 kilometers from the Huayquivino Melao power plant to the connection point in Ancoa substation. During the second quarter of 2017, the preparation of the environmental impact study and the engineering development of the last adjustment to the project continue. The hydro project Los Cuartos is located in the DOE River near San Carlos de Puremes, about 5 kilometers upstream the intersection with the Panamericana Sur Highway. This hydropower plant has water rights that would allow it to achieve a capacity of about approximately 93 megawatts with an average annual generation of 500 gigawatt hours. The project also considers a 10-kilometer transmission line to connect the power plant with the substation Chen. The project is in definition from the point of view of the business to be able to continue its development in the basic engineering stage. El Meano project is a renewable energy project which is located next to La Mina project in the Maule River, and this project considers an installed capacity of 6 megawatts and an average annual generation of 26 gigawatt hour, which will be the energy will be evacuated through the transmission lines of La Mina. El Meano is conceived as a compact work, which is to say, in the same structure, in concentrated the capture, the engine room, and the restitution to the river. During the second quarter of 2017, the development of basic engineering and the preparation of the data to carry out the process of the environmental impact study during July 2017 continues. Finally, Unit 2 of the Santa Maria complex, located next to Santa Maria 1, as you may know, has the environmental permit approved to carry it on. But regarding the development of this project, Colbún has decided to defer the construction of this second unit as long as market and social conditions are met to execute this initiative. Having covered our growth opportunities, with this we are concluding this second quarter results review. Thank you for listening, and now we are open to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask an audio question, please key star 1 on your phone. And you have a question from Andrew McCarthy. Please proceed.
Good morning, Sebastian, Miguel, Veronica. Thanks very much for the presentation. I had a couple of questions on contractual commitments. The first one was related to the 800 gigawatt hour that you've recently contracted in the non-regulated segment. If possible, could you provide a bit more color on when those contracts start up and also the duration of those contracts? And my second question was related to the regulated segment. There, if you could provide any color on what you're seeing in terms of potential risk from regulated clients switching to the non-regulated segment and what impact that could have on your contracted sales volumes going forward, that would be great. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Andrew. This is Miguel. Thanks for your questions. So regarding your first question, as we have disclosed on our last two annual statements, we have been able to sign medium-term contracts with unregulated customers. These contracts are shorter tenure than our previous contracts. I would say in average about 6 years on average. They start mostly this year and next year. And again, these are with industrial customers mainly. We can obviously cannot disclose more information about this contract since they are bilateral contracts. Regarding your second question, and that has to do with the evolution of volume moving from the regulated to the unregulated segment, we are seeing some of that effect, but I would say that as of today, we're not seeing a material volume moving from one segment to the other.
You have a question from Sebastian Ramirez. Please proceed.
Hi, guys. Congratulations for the results. Just got one quick question in Chile. Only to discard your sales in the spot market. Does any of these sales of energy and capacity considers reliquidations of the capacity payments? Seems that $90 per gigawatt hour sold a little bit high given the average of the quarter and being your thermal facilities acting as a base load capacity rather than a picking up. So being able to capture that average price of average selling price is kind of weird for your kind of assets. And then I have just two other quick questions in Chile that are in relation with what Andrew asked. In your regulated contracts, obviously you have been seeing clients migrating to the free market. Is there any difference between the contracts that you have? I'm trying to understand probably in the Chilectra and Concepcion, the distribution areas, the migration has been higher than in the other distribution areas, meaning that probably your average price in your regulated contracts is having some sort of change in mix where some contracts are being less dispatched than others and that affecting your price. Is it that something that is happening right now?
Hi, this is Miguel speaking. Thanks for your two questions. So regarding your first question about the capacity payments on the spot market, there's no non-recurring effect on the quarter. More than happy to then analyze in detail the numbers you're getting at. But again, normal running business. Regarding your second question about migration and those two specific customers, we're not seeing any material specific effect, right?
Okay. No. Sorry, line is not, it's not being very clear. Can you repeat your answer?
Sure. So regarding your first question, I said that we're not seeing any non-recurring effect affecting the prices or the amounts on the spot market. Regarding your second question, a specific or material effect affecting the migration, those two contracts to the unregulated segments.
Perfect. There's other thing that caught my attention, that after kind of 5 years where your tax payments were lower than what you were declaring in your P&L, in the cash flow statement in comparison to the income statement, right now they're a match. I'm wondering, when are you projecting internally that you're going to start to pay more taxes than in your P&L, in your cash flows? When the effects of accelerated depreciation ends?
Sebastian Miguel again. So regarding your third question, I would say that in a period of maybe 3 to 5 years starting, we should be paying more taxes, because the difference in depreciation in terms of accounting and financial perspectives, that of course would consider that we would not invest in additional projects, which of course something we're still pushing based on the project pipeline we are considering and that you're aware of.
Great, and this is my last question for my side, is that given that you said that the 800 gigawatt hours that were closed during this first half of the year has been at market prices, if you were to apply market prices to the evaluation of the San Pedro project, does this project require some sort of impairment with the current prices of the market?
Sebastian, thanks for that last question. So two comments on that. First of all, we are talking about medium-term contracts versus a long-term project. So that's the first difference. In second place, you have to remember that in our analysis, because of San Pedro configuration, the expected load factor is higher than the load factor we have at least on the rest of Colbún assets. So that makes a second difference, which makes harder to compare what you're asking against the San Pedro project.
Okay, many thanks.
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, so if there are no further questions, I thank everyone for joining again this conference call, and we hope to see you again for the next quarter review, and have a great weekend also. Bye-bye to everyone from Colbún.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a wonderful day.